everyone. This is your host, Steven, and you are listening to my last episode of the Learn Swift podcast. So a few things have come up in my life, and a lot of you are aware that I became a new father about 6 months ago. My daughter's a little over 6 months old as of the time of this recording. And one of the things that has been really difficult for me is kind of reconciling the amount of time that I spend on the podcast and finding people to come on the show. When I had a steady stream of people coming in, it was a lot easier to, you know, set up recording and then nail down schedules. When I don't have that steady stream of people coming towards me, like the first episodes up until David Kopeck, everybody approached me. It was very easy to set all the things up. After that kind of slowed down and I had to start finding people myself, I found it very difficult to find the time to like talk to people to get them to come on the show. So it's when you start having to line up schedules, and then, you know, when you approach somebody to be on the show, it's a lot different than somebody coming to you and asking to be on the show because they already want to be on the show. So it's more or less, you know, just figuring out when's a good time to come on. When I approach somebody to come on the show, it's like, hey, I've got this podcast. I think you would have an interesting story to tell. Why don't you come on? And then a lot of people, you know, have to think about it, and, you know, you kind of go back and forth. And then, you know, it's very difficult to get things lined up just right. So that's one of the reasons why I'm having to bring this to a close. I just don't have the bandwidth to or energy to be able to do that and be a good father, essentially, because I have to do all that stuff on my free time. Now that free time, you know, I work, you know, I have a full-time job, and then so then I have to come home and then essentially decide, okay, so do I spend time with my daughter or do I try and spend a few hours conversating with different people to try and get them to come on the show? And obviously every time my daughter's going to win. Also, I recently landed a job. I landed a new job. I accepted a job as a, oddly enough, a DevOps role for a very, very large company. And I don't know how, I ended up getting the gig. It was kind of happenstance because I was talking to a recruiter at an agency about, being an iOS developer. And one of the, you know, they had this position that, they wanted a developer, but it was for their DevOps team. And so I interviewed for it and I thought I did terribly, but they ended up coming back with an offer, and it was an offer I really couldn't refuse. So a lot of time, you know, I'm going to be spending a lot of time up until my start date, really just kind of deep diving into different DevOps tools like Jenkins and, you know, looking at like Fastlane stuff and Docker and Kubernetes and like all sorts of stuff. And it is supporting the mobile. The DevOps group is this particular part of the group anyway is supporting mobile and deployments. So it's a whole different world that I haven't really touched too much. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time looking into that. So I really don't have the time right now, the time that the audience deserves to have a weekly show that comes out, or at least something a little more frequently, because you all may have noticed that after the David Kopeck episode, there wasn't another episode for 8 weeks, and that's the first episode I could get scheduled to actually get recorded from end to end with Greg. I do want to talk about though where I'm at with some other things though before I sign off. You know, Kevin POTUS and I we have shipped or we're about to ship sponsors. We had a little bit of a hiccup with an in-app purchase not being submitted along with the new build. So nobody was able to upgrade the app if they wanted to. So it got pulled. But It wasn't up on the store for very long. I don't even know if anybody had a chance to download it before we saw the issue. So that will be out very soon. I'll probably tweet it out if you guys want to check it out. I'm pretty proud of some of the stuff I did in there in regards to animations and whatnot. But that was a very interesting process, especially working with somebody else, which I hadn't done a whole lot of before, not on an entire project. It really was kind of challenging, because when you have two people communicating on a project, you both know what you mean in your head, but whenever you convey it to somebody else, they might not be perceiving it the same way. And this is kind of an issue with all sorts of different things, not just development. But it really, really shows whenever you're working on when you're working in a team. So it was pretty interesting. We set up a Trello board. That's how we would keep track of like where we were at. But at times, sometimes the Trello board would get a little bit ignored. But it was pretty helpful, especially at least when we first started working together on the project. It was very easy to see, okay, what features are being worked on now, what features are complete, what features do we have coming up, and then we would rate, you know, label them with like priorities and stuff. I found Trello to be pretty easy to work with, and it was fairly easy, you know, it's lightweight enough to, you know, we didn't need to like bring in like a like Jira or anything for two people working on something. Trello worked well enough. But whenever it kind of came down to that, how everybody says like the first 80% of the app, and then there's the second 80% of the app. A lot of that second 80% didn't really get a whole lot of Trello love. You know, it was like minor tweaks, minor improvements, like some refactorings that were necessary to go forward on like other parts of the project. A lot of that kind of started to break down a little bit when it came to keeping track of. So that's definitely something I'm going to look at in the future, just to make sure that I keep communication channels open, and also like clearly make the expectations or the ideas, expressed. Try and leave as little to the imagination as possible, so that there's no communication issues. And we didn't really have a whole lot of that. I would say that some of the stuff that was like I didn't actually expect there to be an iPad version, honestly. So, and there was no reason for me to assume that, but that's something that, you know, that's something that should be talked about, because when I was doing some of the constraints, both in storyboards and in code, I wasn't really considering how to make it look on iPad. And one of the things that is not a good way to go, making an iPad app ideally shouldn't just be a blown up version of the iPhone app, and it's not quite that. The dimensions are a little different. I wouldn't say that we take advantage of a whole lot of iPad related stuff, but if we would just blew it up, we change proportions of stuff. But the problem with that is that I wasn't expecting that, so I didn't code it that way or set it up in storyboards that way. So there are certain things that needed to be changed to make it look correct on iPad. And we don't rotate on the iPhone, we rotate on iPad. So that was something else that had to be considered, because certain things didn't look right in landscape on iPad. So I had to make sure to tweak some things and check for, you know, the particular size class of the device. So communication up front is extremely important, but also throughout the process. But overall, though, Kevin and I were both very open with each other. We didn't really keep any cards to our, like, you know, there's no reason to. We're both working on the same end goal. So, you know, anytime there was any misunderstanding or anything, we made sure to iron it out. And also, you know, when you're working with designs in Sketch, you can have like, you know, you can have your pixel perfect design for iPad and iPhone, but if you want to make it like a responsive design, that pixel perfect iPad and iPhone designs might not exactly come out the way they are as they're originally envisioned, because it's not as clear cut, because you don't want to you want to change as little as possible between the two, so you don't have this gigantic mess of UI code that's specifically tailored to iPad. And really the only way to know exactly if you're on an iPad is if both the height and width constraints are regular and none of them are compact. So this is just kind of me riffing off a little bit. So I also have another project coming up that I haven't started on yet, but I'm in the beginning of talks with a local photographer about working on an app for him, and he's for scheduling and he's going to have events and things like that. So that's another project I'm going to be working on. I love Swift and I love iOS, and even though that I'm not going to be still not going to be doing it professionally, I'm still going to do it. Right. It's not going to take up all my time now. One of the nice things about getting a job in, like you could say, an engineering discipline, that's not Swift and iOS, is now I kind of have the freedom to look at other things that I'm interested in without feeling guilty about it. So like I've been interested a bit in some of the, some other like functional programming languages and like various backend stuff. Like I've been wanting to toy around with Haskell and Scala a little bit. I've been leaning more towards Scala just because it's you still get some of the you can still go object oriented if you want to, kind of like Swift. But I think Scala has more functional programming stuff built in than Swift really does, without having to do a whole lot of setup on your own. So that's just kind of stuff that I've been thinking about. Like, you know, I can work on stuff and not feel guilty about it, like I'm impeding my progress towards this goal of becoming, you know, a professional iOS developer. And even though that I'm not going to be a professional iOS developer, I'm still working in technology and things that I find interesting. One of the things I find the whole DevOps thing to be pretty interesting, especially when I made my open source project Swifty Tesseract. I wanted to have you know, the whole build status on GitHub, so I figured out how to set up Travis CI to run my unit tests and stuff like that. And it was pretty interesting because you have to mess with the, you know, doing Xcode build on the command line. Essentially, you have to have that little command line script run to build the project, and, you know, tinkering with that kind of stuff and making sure the build is, you know, everything's going correctly and any stages that need to happen. So like, since it's available on CocoaPods, one of the steps in the Travis build is to make sure that the pod spec lints correctly. If it doesn't lint correctly, then the build fails. So it's different, but I'm really excited about it, because it's a whole nother side of things that I haven't really messed with, but I just love to learn. And I'm not going to make this episode super long. There's not really a whole lot else I really have to say about it. But I really appreciate everyone that's listened to the show, that's liked the show, that's reached out to me, all the guests. This last year, and it's almost been a year, I think I launched the show mid August of 2017, and it's been a huge part of my life. It's helped me feel more confident as a developer. It's helped me, be part of the community, actually feel a part of the community at large. When you're starting out by yourself, not knowing anybody, it's very lonely. And I encourage anyone out there that doesn't have any friends in the community, or they feel like, you know, they're doing this all by themselves, Make friends. Get out there and talk to people. Go to meetups. If there's no meetup, get on Slack groups and reach out to people. Or hell, start a podcast like I did. That's, you know, I've never been one for, and anybody that follows me on Twitter will know this, that I don't really tweet a lot. I'm not very active on social media platforms. I'll tweet here and there, you know. I'm not like completely, you know, my timeline isn't nothing, but I'm not like constantly tweeting like other folks do, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I don't really, you know, it's just not, I'm just not an outspoken person in general. But just get out there and meet people. One of the hardest things to keep going, like it is being able to have that community. It's very difficult to do things by yourself. So anyone out there that doesn't feel like they have community, feel free to reach out to me if you need somebody to talk to. You know, I'm on Twitter. My DMs are open. It's not a problem to me. I might not get back to you immediately. You know, I'm a lot of times my phone is on silent, or you know, if I'm at work. But yeah, feel free to reach out to me if there's any problems that you're having, or if you want somebody to look at your code. I have no problem helping anybody. I've had several people come to me, and you know, just for those things, and you know, I still talk to them to this day. But one thing before I sign off, though, I want to, since you're losing a podcast in your list, I want to throw out some podcasts that I listen to, and the majority of them, maybe you may or may not have heard of, but I would imagine a lot of them you do. But right now, in my list, I've got Core Intuition. Core Intuition has Daniel Jowcut and Manton Reese. Daniel Jowcut was an Apple engineer, and he currently actively podcasts, of course, and then he also develops the Mac blogging software, Mars Edit. So if you're familiar with any of the blogging tools, he's the developer of Mars Edit. I think he purchased it after version 1 and then has been actively maintaining it ever since then. Manton Reese he's mostly working on his own social media platform right now called micro.blog. It's a Twitter like type of thing, but it's based on open web standards, and it's essentially your blog, but then you tweet it out. Anyway, they talk a lot about life as indie developers. And then, you know, one of the things that I really liked about Daniel and Manton is how they talk about their uncertainties and how some of their insecurities and stuff like that. And these guys have been writing software for decades. You know, Daniel was working in at Apple before he was working there before the iPod launched, I think. You know, I don't know if that's correct, but they've been developing for a long time, and it's nice to hear about seasoned developers like that have their insecurities. So that's Core Intuition. I also listen to the More Than Just Code podcast. This has Tim Mitra, Jaime Lopez, Mark Rubin, and those are the three mainstays. And then occasionally Greg Hio and Tammy Coron will pop in on the show. This is kind of just a roundtable discussion about current Apple events and iOS and Swift development and kind of anything related in between. It's pretty good. Tim's Canadian, so it's kind of nice to hear things from a non-US perspective. And it's just an all around good show. It's kind of like if you're kind of bogged down on Apple news stuff, maybe not for you. But if you want to hear other people's takes on it, then this is definitely up your alley. Another one that I listen to is Swift by Sundell. That's John Sundell. And super smart guy. I get a lot out of his blogs and his podcast is very good. And he brings on some seasoned developers and they talk about a certain programming topic, mostly about Swift. Another one that I listen to is called Coder Radio. Now, this is not really a Swift or iOS podcast, but it is programming related. This has, I can't remember one of the hosts' last name, but a guy named Chris. He runs the Jupiter Broadcasting Network, and Mike Dumenuco. He used to do iOS and Mac development, but has since shifted to more AI type of stuff. But they talk about broader development news. I enjoy it quite a bit because they antagonize Apple a bit, and Mike also is a Swift hater. So I try not to live in a bubble. And Coder Radio definitely lets me know what other people are thinking about the current goings on, and just in the development community at large. I also listen to a podcast called Independence. This has Alice Zhao, Curtis Herbert, and Daniel Jelly Fairley. This is all about life as independent developers or being self-employed. And a lot of it's pretty programming agnostic. They more or less kind of talk about how, you know, things that occur in the life of an independent developer for the most part. They talk about insecurities, uncertainty, a whole bunch of things. Like, let's see, they talk about financial planning, like marketing, losing control, fixing bugs, minimum viable, like stuff like that. I just kind of rattled off some of their episode titles recently. That's very good. I enjoy it quite a bit. I listen to the Ray Winderlich podcast. That's pretty self-explanatory what they do. a lot of times they talk about stuff that is on the website. Usually topics that are on the website anyway. So a lot of Swift. Recently they've been kind of throwing in Kotlin and whatnot to kind of get out of their mostly Swift and iOS bubble. I listen to Swift Unwrapped. I don't think they've put out one in a while. Last one they put out was July 2nd. I'm not exactly sure when they're coming back. I think a lot of the like Swift news type of stuff is kind of getting a little slow now because not as many exciting things are happening in the language, but it's still a good show. If they start coming out with more episodes, they're definitely good to listen to. That's the kind of podcast that if you want to just kind of be immersed in stuff that you do not have any clue what they're saying, but you just want to hear it because you know that repetition helps. That's the podcast to listen to because they talk about a lot of like super technical language features and how they work in the compiler and all sorts of like super technical stuff. Another one that I listen to is Under the Radar. This has Marco Arment and David Smith. Marco is, you know, he's a host on ATP, another show that I listen to, but I don't listen to ATP as much just because it's so long. 2.5 hours, that takes me a few commutes to listen to. So that's not always at the top of my list just because I have so many other podcasts that I would want to listen to. Usually if I have all the other podcasts listened to, I'll put them on as filler almost. It's a good show, but it's just a little long for my taste. But anyway, Under the Radar is only 30 minutes long, and this is specifically specifically all, you know, iOS and watchOS, and you actually hear a lot of watchOS stuff because a lot of David Smith stuff, he has a lot of watch apps, so you hear a lot about that aspect of it. But they're both independent developers, and they talk about things that are important to independent iOS developers. And of course, I can't leave out my Swift coders brethren. We of course got Fireside Swift. Fireside Swift. It's got Stephen Berard and Zach Falgu, and you know that's just a fun conversation about Swift and different programming topics. It's not always explicitly Swift. A lot of it can be about stuff that's just will make you a better programmer. But you're going to hear about it in a way that's very funny and relatable, and it just sounds like two friends just chit chatting about programming. And then you've got the Swiftcraft podcast, with E-Man, and he was on one of the first episodes of the second season. So if you haven't checked him out yet, go ahead and do that. He comes out monthly, but you know, it's a nice change of pace. And so whenever one does come out, you're pleasantly surprised, essentially. his last episode was about proper MVC and app architecture. And he has an interview show as well. And that's mostly about stepping up your Swift game. Those are the podcasts on my list right now. There's plenty of other good ones. But those are the ones that I routinely listen to. And yeah, if any of you guys are upset, or not upset, I guess, but you know, you're looking for other shows to fill the void. If this Learn Swift podcast was held a premium spot in your playlist, any of those would be, a good replacement. Yeah, but I want to say again how much I really appreciate everyone in the audience, and I wouldn't have done this without you guys. The audience has grown quite a bit. It's, you know, I'm not at ATP numbers or anything, but you know, when I first started episode one, I probably had a handful of downloads, maybe 30 by the end of the week if I was lucky. But I'm gonna give you guys some just actual real numbers as I'm sitting here. Let's see, might as well. Fireside.fn/admin. Okay, I'm pulling up my admin portal right now. Here we go to metrics. So when I first started, I had about 30 downloads in the first week. And then over time it grew. And then I got to a point where, like, in the first week I'd get about 400 downloads. And then so on and so forth. And, you know, kind of steadily just kind of grew a little bit here and there. And then when I went on break before my daughter was born, my last episode was with Mark Opont. And that episode had gotten up to, and right now it's at 2,600 downloads. When I came back, my first episode with just me had over 1,000 downloads in the first week, and you know, just kept growing from there. Right now, Greg's episode that I just published as of this time, it hasn't even been a week yet, and we're sitting at 1,433 downloads in like less than a week. So seeing it go in the year, from like 30 downloads in the first week to like about 1,500 in the first week on average, it's awesome to see that. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that are definitely listening to the show every week. And even though I don't even see any of you guys, and I don't interact with most of you other than, you know, through this medium, I appreciate every single one of you. And, you know, it means a lot that all of you have listened to the show and found it at least worth it enough to have me on your playlist to increase my download number. You know, it just, you know, feels really good to see that. And I really appreciate everyone out there. I'm going to leave it at that. And I appreciate, once again, anyone who's ever liked or listened to the show, shared it with a friend, rated it on iTunes. And if anyone wants to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Steven_0351. Also, I do want to say, actually, before I cut this off, if anybody wants to take this show over, I would be more than happy to pass the torch on to someone, because I do think that the show has a place and a purpose in the community to help other developers, you know, hear the stories of people that are going through the same struggles as they are early on in their Swift developer journey. So if anybody's interested in taking over the show, hit me up on Twitter at Steven_0351, like I just said. I've taken down the links on the website to apply to be on the show. I'm obviously no longer selecting any new applicants for to be on. But if you're interested in being the new host of the show, then reach out to me. Otherwise, I'm going to leave the show up, but indefinitely. But there will, as of the end of this, there will be no new episodes of the Learn Swift podcast. And thank you for joining this ride with me, and I appreciate every single one of you.